You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
So a couple of weeks ago on Easter, when we spoke on the resurrection of Jesus, I read the scripture from 1 Peter 1, verse 3, where it says these words: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Of course, on Easter, we focus on the resurrection part. That was appropriate. Today, we'll focus on two other words from the same scripture, from this powerful passage, and namely the words, the living hope. Living hope. What does it mean that we are born again into the living hope? What does it mean? So let's dig into this subject of hope. And as we do it, we will ask ourselves a number of questions. Questions like, where does hope come from? What is the source of our hope? Where or what does it lead to? What is hope's purpose and function? And what kinds of hope are they are actually? So when you speak of hope, what comes to your mind when we say the word hope? Hope is something that gives our lives purpose and meaning. Hope is a crucial part of human experience. Every day we are hopeful about something. Because without hope, we would be really what? Hopeless. And that's not good. We don't want to be hopeless. We want to be hopeful. Okay? So, you know, my passion for the languages. So, in the Greek language, the word for hope is elpis. Elpis. That's how it's spelled. Elpis, you see? And it comes from the root Greek word, which is elpo. And that word means literally to anticipate, to welcome. So the word elpis then is translated usually as hope or expectations or trust, confidence. It speaks of things that are to come. We are all familiar with 1 Corinthians 13:13, where there is the big anthem of love, and Apostle Paul says there are three things that remain. And of course we know them: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love, those three big things. They are always linked together somehow in an amazing way. So how are they connected? How does it look practically in a Christian life? How is hope, faith, and love united, combined together? How does it work? Psalm 147, verse 11, psalmist says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Lovely, fantastic scripture. As we can see again, love and hope are mentioned together in that verse, are connected, are united in the sentence. God's delight, God's favor is bestowed on those people who put their hope in his love. If you know that God loves you, your hope is based on that love. So God's love is foundation for your hope. Your hope is built as the building. That's why I put the building there. Your hope is built on his love. God's love is the source and foundation for your hope. It's fountain of your hope. Or I put the ATM on there on a picture. See? So from the unlimited sources, deposits of God's love, God's unfailing love, we can make unlimited withdrawals of hope, of immeasurable installments. Sons of Korah wrote in Psalm 42, verse 11, he's asking himself, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." See, when you feel hopeless, desperate, when you are in need, in some problem, you can remind yourself of God's faithfulness. as the psalm is doing. You can speak to your own soul. And that's not, you know, the symbol of insanity. You can speak to your soul. Oh, my soul, why are you sad in me? Why I feel downcast? Why do I feel depressed, anxious, or whatever? Remind yourself of God's love and his faithfulness. I will yet praise him. See? And or you can just sing that sing. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And me. See, every morning, every day, it's renewed. So you remind yourself of his unfailing love, of his faithfulness. You speak to yourself. And as you praise and praise and praise, you renew your hope within you. Psalmists were doing it, and we can do it as well. Because it works like that, because faith comes by hearing through the word of God, as Romans 10:17 says. See? So when you speak to your soul, you sing, you praise, you say, why are you downcast, my soul? God is faithful. And you hear your own words, and faith is being built in you. You can speak and build your faith and your hope this way. So even reading the word of God aloud is a different than just reading it silently, because you hear, and faith comes by hearing, you know, even physically. So where does, that question, where does hope come from? It comes from, it relies on God's unfailing love. Wow. Psalm 130 verse 7 says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. We can find countless scriptures like this again and again. God's love is the reason for your hope, for my hope, for our hope. Our hope is based in his faithfulness and love, but it comes through our experience of that love. That's why Korah is speaking to his soul. Cheer up, my soul. Remind yourself of his love, and you experience that love, and your hope is being built. And that's what you do. That's your job. You work on it. You build it up within yourself. In your heart runs on hope. Psalm 119, verse 114. I have put my hope in your word, says psalmist, because this is the word of God where your faith is being built. Psalmist didn't wait for the hope to come one day, see, to appear in his heart, but he put it there by reading, relying on the word of God. It was his initiative, his decision, his call. But then it's still a good question to ask. What is helping our hope to increase, to be formed, to be strengthened? The Bible answered that to us as well. Romans 5:4 says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. Ouch. Is that, because this is not really what we really always want to hear, you know, anything that when we mention suffering, why, you know, Lord, is it really necessary? Can I have hope without that heartbeat? Well, no, it's not necessary if you want to remain hopeless. See, hardships, troubled times, hard times, difficult times, difficulties, shape and test our character, our faith, our real relationship, whether it's real or not. It is not necessary. It's not necessary. You know, in our tribulation, we talk about suffering, so it doesn't mean that we will be thrown in a Colosseum to the beast to be eaten alive by lions or burned at the stakes and tortured and imprisoned for decades like those early Christians. Our sufferings, our trials might be very moderate compared to theirs. But it is a general principle that difficult time tests are shaping our character. And in my counseling sessions that I have as a chaplain, I'll often tell people, You are going through some troubles. Every situation in your life, even difficult situation in your life, can make you better or bitter. Your choice. Your choice. Yeah. And everybody understands that. In non-Christians, they understand this language. Every, whatever God, whatever life, whatever people throw at you can make you better or bitter. It's your choice. Your attitude. How will you take it? See? We are never hopeless. God never leaves us. You go through hard times, He's right there. People ask, where is God when? Always. Right there. Right there. See? There's a progression. There's a journey how we can build that hope. Faith accepts the gift of promise, but hope confidently expects the fulfillment of the promise. We live by faith in hope. And now, Jeremiah 29:11. Love this scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. I want to spend some considerable time on this fascinating scripture, which is, in my humble opinion, one of the most misunderstood, or I would even say abused, twisted scriptures in the Bible. Yes, you heard me. And I'm sure we will find quite a few guilty ones here in our midst, if you dare to admit to yourself. Or if I ask right now, how many of you have used this scripture and wrote it on a card, a birthday card, well-wishy card, whatever, encouragement card, you know? Do we use this scripture because it's so lovely? I believe so, you know. I used it. I'm the sinner here. No, well, you'll hear why sinner. It is a very famous and familiar scripture. For I know I have plans for you. It sounds so encouraging, so good. Yeah. Well, so how do we abuse this scripture? Let me tell you. Isn't this verse so plain and simple? It is plain and simple. It's no rocket science. It's not complicated at all. So the problem is that if it's quoted out of the context, it is quoted out of the context. And then we can make even this scripture, like any other scripture, we can make it mean whatever we want that scripture to mean instead of what it was originally meant to say. And let me explain what I mean. So, bear with me. In 587 or 586 BC, 2,500 years ago, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and his army, lots of people came and destroyed Jerusalem. They burned the temple, destroyed it, everything, the temple of Solomon, you know, gone. And Jewish people, the whole nation was taken as prisoners, captives, and taken to Babylon. Slaves, captives, you know, Babylonian captivity changed the history of Israel, Jewish people forever. In Babylon, they wrote Talmud. In Babylon, they established synagogues. Babylon meant the biggest shift in the history of Israel. So this is where we are, you know, 2,600 years before now. And so Jewish people in Babylon suffering bad times, really bad times. But Jews, as they were in Babylon, they were greatly encouraged when some prophets of God arose and started to prophesy to them. And this is what they were saying, these prophets of God. In 2 years, don't worry, people of Israel, in 2 years, the yoke of the king of Babylon will be broken, and you will come back to Jerusalem, and you will rebuild the houses, your houses, in Jerusalem again. You will come back to Jerusalem. Yay! Praise the Lord! He is good and faithful. Unfaithful love. You know, unfailing love. Yes, sorry. Yes, yeah. Unfailing love of God. They hope as raised because they trust the unfailing love of God of Israel. He hasn't forgotten his children. It was a great message. Great. Wouldn't you be encouraged if the prophets of God would tell you something like that? There was hope of deliverance. The Lord God, Yahweh, has spoken. Wouldn't you believe? Hope, hope, hope. That's all they needed. Yeah, right. And here comes Prophet Jeremiah. And what he tells them, those prophets that are telling you those things are false prophets. Okay, so one prophet against the others, nothing new in the world. Jeremiah continues, the Lord will not deliver you in 2 years. You will stay in Babylon for 70 years. In other words, most of you who are listening to these words of my prophecy will die in Babylon. You will never come back to Jerusalem. You will never see beautiful Jerusalem ever again. You will die in captivity. But don't worry. The Lord is faithful, and the Lord is saying, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. So that gives you another perspective, doesn't it? When we quote this scripture out of that context, it says something completely different. See, the prophets of God spoke of hope, and Jeremiah came and also spoke of hope. But these hopes were very different hopes. And would you agree, when you and I, when we used that scripture, we were not trying to tell our brothers or sister, don't you worry, the Lord will keep you in captivity of in your Babylon for 70 years. You will suffer for another 7 decades, whatever problem is in your life. Don't you worry, another 70 years and your prayers will be answered. I have plans for you, 70 years of suffering, yay! Is that what we are saying? But that's what that verse was saying in that context. See? And we take the scripture and we make that scripture to tell what we want it to say to our ears. See? Long term, of course, the Lord has good plans for you. That's what Jeremiah said. Yes, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but the Lord is faithful. You know, the Jewish people previously were 400 years in Egypt. 400 years in Egypt. So 70 in Babylon was a shortened sentence. See? But they didn't hear it that way. We don't like suffering that produces perseverance, that produces character, that produces hope. Because we want instant, Lord, now, deliverance. Because we don't want the character. Because then you don't want perseverance, long suffering. And then we are living on a hope that is not godly. See, do you hear the difference? But that's what happens that's what we do to the scripture when we do not study it in the entirety, when we do not read Bible, the whole scripture, every book of the Bible, all the chapters, and when we take what we want to support our own fuzzy feelings and our own idealistic faith. Because we don't like those words about trials, temptations, sufferings, and hardships, and how to build our character. And remember that if nothing else, whatever happens to your life will make you better or bitter. Your choice. See, but this brings us to our last point. When it comes to hope, there are three classes or three different kinds of people. There are people who have no hope, there are people who have false hope, and there are people who have true hope. So let's explore this and finish our discussion about hope. So firstly, no hope people. In Ephesians 2, 11, 12, Apostle Paul speaking to the Gentile Christian says, he says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So there are people in the world who have no hope, no Christ, no connection to the faithful community of faith, and they are truly, honestly hopeless. Tragedy is they don't know it. They have no clue about it. That's the first group. The second group of people is people with false hope. I would dare to say, however, that false hope people are much worse than people without hope. Why? Because people who have false hope, they rely on it. Just like the Israelites in Babylon. They believe that in 2 years, they will be back in Jerusalem. That they will rebuild their houses in Jerusalem. They base their hope on the prophets of God, on the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. They heard God speaking to them, so they thought. Sometimes we think God spoke because if it tickles our fancy, if it's what we want to hear, we believe what we want to believe. See, but it's a difference what God is saying, truly saying, and what when we believe our own human desires. The prophets honestly believed they spoke the word of God, I assume. They lived by that hope. But just imagine what happened to that hope of the people in Babylon after those 2 years expired. 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they still live. Oh, two years, prophets said, and it's 42. And 52, and 62, and still, what would you do with that kind of hope? False hope. Where did you bring you to? You know, what did you what that hope led you to? Sadly, so those people who have false hope are much more numerous than people without hope. But a person who finds himself hopeless may be inclined to accept true hope. But the one who has false hope says, no, I have my faith, I have my hope, I have my foundation, I'm based in something. Even it's false, but he doesn't know it. But he strongly believes that because he wants to. False hope seems self-sufficient until times of testing come, until you spend 70 years in Babylon. Many men and women have found their hope was mere vanity when troubles arise. So what is false hope? I can give you hundreds of examples, probably. Just give you a few to think of. The drunkard who thinks that he can quit anytime he likes has a false hope. The drug addict who thinks that he can escape his problems by getting high has false hopes. The thief who thinks he can steal without consequences has false hope. But also a sinner that believes that he will be able to repent just before he dies, you know, enjoy life and then before I die I'll repent. That's a false hope. But also a church member who thinks that just because he is baptized, he is a member of the church, he is done, you know, he belongs, he will escape help. Relying on these things he has done, that's a false hope. There's a religion that thrives on false hope. You know, religion without Jesus living inside human heart and reigning there as Lord and King. Matthew 7, 21, 27, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will say, declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are Christians who believe and live in false hope, on false hope, believing that they are saved and going to heaven even though they never repented. That's a false hope. They believe they will see the glory of the Lord even though their lives are not consecrated and they do not live by the standards of the Word of God. There are people that trust in their own goodness. I'm good. I haven't killed anybody recently. You know? People who rely on false religion of good works. I'm trying to be a good person. Yeah. People don't like to hear all have sinned. And if you have sinned, it means you deserve hell. Have you sinned once? Anybody? You deserve to go to hell. And I deserve.
Can you use the handheld? Thank you.
Okay. So, no good works, human merits, religion based on sand will not save. That kind of religion is doomed for the same proclamation from the Lord. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. False hope is a deceitful hope. So the second group of people, done. Now, the true hope people. People who have living hope. Hebrews 6:18-19. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. True hope can only be found in Jesus, in real living relationship with Jesus. Never say, I'm a good person. See? Do not trust in your goodness, in your good works, in your committed Christian service, you know, your years of dedicated ministry in the congregation. They will not save you. Do not boast how many ministries you had or have. But if you boast, be like Apostle Paul, boast of your weaknesses, or as Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:3, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Again, that word. See? When we speak of hope, that word suffering somehow comes back again and again. See? How real is your religion? How real is your faith? How real is your hope? Do you have that living hope? Is this the same question or issue that I discussed you recently when I said that there's a difference between making Jesus our Savior and making Him Lord of our lives? The times of trial reveal whether your relationship with Jesus is alive, whether you truly have living hope in your heart and deep, genuine connection to your Maker and to your Lord and Savior who is with you, even during, I will call it, Babylon times, you know, when you are taken somewhere against your will. It shows you who you truly are, how are you connected with the Lord, who is He to you personally. And even when He tells you that your cross you have to carry for a while, doesn't matter how long that while is. In my case, your case, it doesn't have to be 70 years. Your burden will not be resolved soon according to your wishes, your prayers. How will you respond to that when you hear, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Even when Lord's plans and my plans are not exactly the same thing. How do you handle that hope that He wants to give you, like the prophet Jeremiah hope was saying,
against the false hope of your own desires and prayers and thinking, you know, that often is a false hope, and yet that you made condition of your relationship with him. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. Often it doesn't make sense to people around you, others. When you go through the hard times, through difficult times, some testing times, really difficult situations, and yet people around you, they don't see you complaining, whinging. You do not respond the way they think you should. And everybody's asking, what's wrong with this man, you know? They might think something is not right there. Be ready to answer what is the reason for your hope. That your hope is based on unfailing love. You know that God loves you no matter what. Whatever happens to you, he loves you and you love him. And there's no separation and nothing can separate you from the love of God. You do not lose your hope, even if it takes longer than whoever might expect for that problem to be resolved. Be joyful, Romans 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. See again, hope and affliction. Suffering, trouble, hard times, how it goes hand in hand. What makes some people endure trials while others crumble? It is their hope. What is it that encourages people to continue in prayer even when they don't see any change? Hope. Even if the Lord told you that it will last years, keep on praying. Don't give up your hope. Hope makes all the difference.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.